so much for watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutan and not forgetting Ibrahim Sani. Ibrahim, let's cross to you. You have another text update for us. What do you have?
Some of the other comments that have been coming in is from Deloitte Malaysia. Here's Teresa Goh, text partner over there, sharing her thoughts on the matter.
To make Malaysia as a destination for high-value service activities, some of the incentives that have been announced are, firstly, with regards to Principal Hub, this is an existing incentive which will be expiring end of this year. So the government has announced that conditions will be further relaxed and this incentive will be extended for another 2 years to 31st December 2022. This is an incentive which attracts the regional headquarters, the regional HQs, to be based in Malaysia. So, and we're hoping that there will be technology transfer. If you have all the heads in Malaysia and hiring Malaysians, the Malaysians will also be learning up the skills of how to run a big MNC. The second one is a new tax incentive called the Global Trading Center, right, will be given. So I wonder if this is going to be similar to what our competitor Singapore already has. So the GTC will be subject to a concessionary rate of tax at 10%. Instead of 24%, it will be at 10%. And this will be for a period of 5 years, and it will be renewable for a period of another 5 years. Now, the third one is there will be a special income tax treatment at a flat rate of 15% for a period of 5 years to non-resident individuals who hold key positions for strategic new investments for companies that will be relocating their operations to Malaysia. So for new companies that will be relocating their operations to Malaysia, the expatriates who are holding key positions will be subject to tax only at 15%. Of course, we have a number of questions here. Will this only be for new companies, new investments that are going to be starting up? Will it also apply to expatriate employees who are non-resident in the Principal Hub, for example, or even in the GTC? So I guess we will have to wait for the details to know. But this is an attractive incentive because non-residents do not enjoy the scale rates that we as residents enjoy, so they are taxed at a higher rate. So the 15% would be attractive for them. I suppose the next question is, when you talk about individuals holding key positions, so how many individuals can a company consider to be holding key positions? Is it just, you know, the key post position is for immigration purposes, or you can have more than one key position in a company? Now, other than that, for businesses or manufacturing companies which have relocated or going to relocate their businesses to Malaysia and bring in new investments to Malaysia, the application for the incentive will be extended for another year to 31st December 2022. And the good news is that the scope of tax incentive will be extended also to companies in the selected services sector which have significant multiplier effect. So they must have significant multiplier effect in order to qualify for this incentive. But it's a good incentive because the tax rate is 0 to 10% for a period of 10 years. So this is a good thing, not only for manufacturing, but can be extended to services sector as well.
That was Teresa Goh of Deloitte. Back to you, Mel and Sharad.
Thanks, Ibrahim. You're turning out to be quite the tax guy on the show tonight. We're going to check back in with you a little bit later. But Dato' Shamsuddin Bardan, Executive Director of the Malaysian Employers Federation, joins us on the show now. Good evening, sir. Business resilience was supposed to be one of the pillars of Budget 2021. Was that really reflected in this budget? Is this the budget that businesses and employers were hoping for?
Yes, I think under the current circumstances, the government had actually done its level best in trying to assist businesses and employers to actually go through the difficult period.
Shamsuddin, let's pick up on some of the details of the help that's been proposed in the budget. One of them is the hiring of fresh graduates, incentives for businesses in terms of 1,000 ringgit paid over 3 months, also an I believe 4,000 ringgit, which they can claim for rehiring and retraining, right? So yeah. is that the kind of thing that we were looking for? And do you think it will work?
Yes, basically, of course, you know, for graduates and to hire people who had been retrenched or had been long time not in employment, I think this incentive will somehow assist employers in trying to hire new employees, especially if you're looking at some recovery of the economy somewhere at least in the first quarter or second quarter of next year. So that, I think, really assists employers to actually engage these people who are unemployed currently.
Can I ask you to elaborate specifically, what did you see in this budget that you think would be good for business resilience, would be good for employers?
Yeah, of course, if you're looking at the resilience of employers, I think that the wage subsidy is critical for them, especially in the situation where these companies are in the tourism and retail sector. Because these are the two sectors that are very badly infected by the COVID-19. And basically, of course, you know, for them, the recovery can be a bit difficult. Yeah? And it is where I think when the government extended the wage subsidy program for another 3 months for them, that will be really giving them a kind of lifeline. Well, and also the limitation of 200 employees is now being lifted up to 500 employees.
Okay, Shamsuddin, if I may take you up on that point about the incentives for the tourism industry. Now, earlier today, we had the Malaysian Association of Tour and Travel Agents, MATA, the president of MATA, just commented on the budget, saying that Budget 2021 had failed to provide solid initiatives to protect jobs and businesses in the tourism sector. In fact, he's saying that tourism workers should consider looking for employment in other industries. Do you think that there were sectors and industries that got the short end of the stick in this budget?
No, I wouldn't say that, you know, based on the current situation, based on the current circumstances, I think, yes, looking at some kind of limitation of the government's funding, I think that is something that will really assist the group in that sense. Yeah? Otherwise, then they'll be hit in a much harder way and a bigger way. Yeah?
Shamsuddin, what about this, what seems to be a solid policy initiative that is in terms of foreign workers and providing businesses incentives to actually switch out foreign workers for Malaysian workers in those sectors that are heavily, where there's a heavy employment of foreign workers? What do you make of that? Do you think it will actually work? Because we've talked about the difficulties of the Malaysian labour market before. Will those incentives be sufficient to see this real structural change in our economy?
Yes. The COVID-19, of course, is a very challenging period. And of course, you know, in that kind of situation, I would say that the government is trying to actually give the priority of employment to locals. And I would say that somehow the assistance given to the employers and also employees, not just employers here, will actually somehow try to attract some of the local employees to enter sectors that previously they are not willing to go in. So, as for example, you're talking about the security services, the people, of course, the local people are not willing to go to this sector, but if somehow with this scheme and also with some of rebranding of the job, say for example, we don't call them as security or jaga anymore, but we call them as auxiliary police, for example. Of course, with some training given by the police force, thing like that, then I would say we'll be able to attract some of the locals to replace the current employees that are coming from the foreign employees.
So, in the minute that we have left, Jay, quick question for you. There's some question around the government's revenue model on as a basis for this particular budget. One of the elements of that is increased corporate tax collection. Do you think that's realistic, the levels that the government has projected? Because it's much more than the pre-COVID tax collection levels.
I would say that possibly that is over-ambitious, to say the least, in the sense that even for this year, for example, the IRD had projected that their collection will be somehow reduced by about one-third. And to actually make a projection of collecting more to a pre-COVID situation, I would say is very ambitious.
Shamsuddin, thank you for speaking with us tonight. I'm sure that you too are still digesting all the announcements that were made in Budget 2021. We're going to take another quick break, but more on Consider This. Stay tuned.